And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. And we say that only because we are seeing that Western civilization has come apart at the seams with the faith and family and freedoms and of course, the breakdown of socioeconomic systems as well. Going on, we just have to say that civilization is dissipating as we see it. And some new civilization will take its place someday, probably within the next 50, 60 years. And I treat this in my book, Apostate. And that book, by the way, is now available. I encourage you to get a copy of it if you want to know why we've gone through such severe changes in just the last 100 years or so. Why does the faith destroyed in Europe and most of America? And why are we facing the breakdown of social systems where 41% of kids are born outside of wedlock, up in 6% in 1970? And 10 times the number of people are shacking up today as were in 1970. If you're kind of curious as to why Christians today are being persecuted in Canada and other places, speaking against sins that used to be capital crimes in 1790, if you're kind of wondering, you know, why the shift? I'm just kind of curious. I would encourage you to get a copy of my book, Apostate. It's we're just about all sold out of the first copy, by the way, the first edition of it, in just about 5 weeks. So it's going good. It's going good.
So you're going to do a second printing?
Yep, we are. We sure are. And we're starting to clean up a few things, and we're going to have a second printing out hopefully within the next 2 months or so. All right, my friends, we're going to talk about this issue of the military because we've got a number of interesting feedback from our listening audience. We've got a chaplain that wrote in, a 26-year-old father of four who happens to be a Marine, and some really good feedback on that program, Dave. I think it was, what, 3-4 weeks ago that we aired a program on how there's, you know, so much sexual abuse going on the part of homosexuals and on the part of women getting raped. And so, you know, our one of our solutions we suggested was get homosexuality out of the armed forces and maybe not, you know, incorporate women into the armed forces and, you know, kind of take it back to the way it was done for the last 5,985 years.
Or you could go back to the Bible and have a firing squad and make sure that the homosexuals are on the right side of the fire.
Yeah, you could. You could. And you could deal with rape in a biblical way.
Right.
And I think there'd be less rape going on.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that was our solution on the program that we aired a couple of weeks ago. But now we're just getting back into the issue. And this is Breitbart News came out, I think, last week that John Fleming has passed an amendment in the House Armed Services Committee protecting religious speech of service members of the military. Now, Barack Obama is going to threaten. He's threatening to veto this thing if it passes the full House and Senate. It's the expansion and implementation of protection of rights of conscience of members of the armed forces and chaplains of such members. The administration strongly objects to Section 530, which would require the armed forces to accommodate, except in cases of military necessity, actions and speech reflecting the conscience, moral principles, or religious beliefs of the member. Wow. You can't even talk about your moral principles. You can't stand up and say, oh, yeah, I'm really against rape. You know, I'm against infanticide. I'm against wiping out genocides. I'm against genocide. Anybody want to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to take a strong position against cannibalism in the armed forces? I don't know. Dave, it seems to me that you've got to be politically correct on every single item. You have got to walk in lockstep with every single politically correct issue, or you're going to be in lots of trouble. I can't imagine somebody court-martialing a Marine for mentioning Jesus outside of a swear word. Can you imagine that? Or maybe a conservative maintaining a fairly conservative perspective on economics or the military or abortion or homosexuality. Imagine somebody like that getting court-martialed for holding those opinions. You know, this is the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? You can still be a conservative and maintain certain moral principles and maintain a position in the armed forces, can't you?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'm based on the headlines, based on the people that I talk to who serve in the military. They have to be very, very careful right now. No, understand, they're not going to get shot if they say Jesus is Lord, but they might get passed over for a promotion.
Okay.
Or they might lose a commission. Mm-hmm. Or they might find themselves on latrine duty.
This ain't the 1980s and Ronald Reagan anymore.
No.
And as armed forces do not operate under President Ronald Reagan anymore. This is a whole new show in town.
Kevin, right in front of me, there's this story here. It's an Investor's Business Daily story. It ran middle of last month. But there's this master sergeant who is being disciplined or facing charges, at least, because he's got conservative bumper stickers on his car. Now, again, they're against the commander in chief. You know, yeah. They're anti-Obama bumper stickers.
Okay. Okay.
They're not just, right. You know, they're not going to say pro-choice or pro-life or something like that. They're actually referring to the man.
Okay.
And they're saying that's creating some discipline issues perhaps on the base and breaking team cohesion when people start doubting their commander in chief. By the way, they get to vote in those elections too. Well, they get to pick somebody other than the commander in chief who's currently serving. So I'm not sure how that
tell
works.
Tell me the guy who's reading other books too. He's charged with reading books by Rush Limbaugh
and Mark Levin. He had some bumper stickers. He read some wrong books, but the kicker is this is the clincher. When he was promoted to master sergeant, he threw a party.
Yeah.
And inspired by the events of the day, he had the party catered with Chick-fil-A.
Ooh, that's tough. Chick-fil-A.
So,
oh boy. Now he's over the edge.
Oh,
That's a court martial.
Yeah, I think it might be. He does make a good point though. He says since "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" was passed, it's the Christians are the ones that are going back into the closet. It's the Christians are the ones that have to go underground. No longer the homosexuals. The homosexuals are out of the closet. The homosexuals are out raping one another and doing whatever. It's the Christians that aren't welcome publicly.
Well, friends, not new. Actually, as it turns out in Christian history, and I encourage people to grab Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History. It's good to read a little bit of church history. In fact, once you've read the Bible, pick up a few church history books from time to time, and hopefully you've got five or six in your library. But Eusebius refers to a number of instances under Diocletian and others where there were Christians in the military, Dave. It sort of surprised me. Here's page 303 in my edition of Ecclesiastical History. And here, Diocletian has attempted to seduce the Christian soldiers of his own house from their faith. He degraded some from their military ranks, insulted others in the most abusive manner, as if that ever happens in our military today, even punishing some with death, and at last exciting his associate emperors to a general persecution against all. So, an example, a clear example where Christians in the military, under Diocletian, were persecuted for their faith. And Dave, here's another instance where mayors and governors were persecuted. Apparently, there were Christian mayors and governors in roughly 280 AD, 290 AD. So again, you're under the Roman persecutions. You're under a pagan state. This is a good argument for those people who say Christians don't belong anywhere. They need to climb into caves and they don't belong anywhere in a pagan world. And Dave, I disagree with that. And I would say they probably don't belong working for Playboy Industries or something like that. But there are points at which, and Eusebius makes this point, there are points at which you don't fire on innocent people. And there was an instance in which somebody, one of the martyrs, was being led to death. This soldier stepped in to try to help her, and then he was thrown into the fire with her. So, you know, you have instances where Christian soldiers really try to protect the innocent. And in the process, of course, their commanding officer shoots them in the head. So that kind of thing has happened under the Roman persecution. So, and my point being that, Dave, no matter where you are, you got to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You got to be a Joseph, an Esther, and a Joseph, and a Daniel, wherever you are. And even if it's the, you know, it's kind of a high-stress job. You know, it's kind of a high-risk job. Wouldn't you say that if you were Daniel during the reign of Darius, or if you were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, it was kind of a high-risk job? I mean, Esther, it was a high-risk job for her.
I mean,
it was like they're always within a day of their own death. It would have been better if they crawled into caves.
You want to stay out of the caves. Ask Daniel.
Yeah.
There might be lions and then there are caves.
That too. But these people did have faith and they were willing to protect the people of God.
Well, they
believed. They were not going to worship the state. They would not worship the state. They wouldn't do it. They kept their Obama is not God sticker on their cars. You follow me?
Right,
that's effectively what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. I'm sorry, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not God. Ned's not God. That was their bumper sticker.
Put it on the back of their donkey, and it was seen up and down the street. Yeah, there's a point in which you don't worship the fake image. You don't worship the big statue of Nebuchadnezzar. What were Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? What were they doing? They were administering peace. They were a terror to evil.
Yeah.
And they were a blessing to those who did good. Now, there are certain evils that they wouldn't participate in, and they wouldn't work to see those evils happen either.
Yeah. And I guess what I'm saying, Dave, is that if you were in the armed forces back in the 1970s or 1980s, and you were a Christian, you know, you probably could stand up for your faith, and you didn't have to take shots at innocent citizens and Christians. But it's not going to be quite that way anymore. I think it's going to be tougher for people to survive in the military. And I'm not saying it's time for all of them to get out, but certainly you got to be a man of faith if you're going to make it into the military. If you got a choice, it might be a good idea not to go there. I mean, we've got some interesting inputs here to the radio program, Dave, from those who are in the military right now. I'm going to read a few letters.
So let's frame the question. The question isn't right now, is it a sin to be in the military? The answer is emphatically no.
Right.
Assuming that you're a male.
Right.
I mean, a female's a whole different question.
Right.
And we address that.
And if you're a homosexual, you got other issues.
Right. We'll
discuss those.
It doesn't matter. You're homosexual in the military or homosexual out of the military. You're committing a capital crime, at least in my reading of the Word of God. So we're not asking that question. We're talking about a young Christian man, maybe a homeschooled, looking perhaps as a career or as a stepping stone going through the military. And the question is it wise for me to join the military either to enlist or to be commissioned? That's the question.
That's the question. And we're going to, you know, address that question in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, this is your host, Kevin Swanson, and I've attended the Renewing the Family Camp every year for the last 8 years. This camp has been a tremendous encouragement to my whole family. Out at the Maranatha Camp in western Nebraska, we enjoy great times of teaching, worship, outdoor sports, fellowship, water skiing, climbing walls, ropes courses, and skeet shooting. You can't beat the rates as low as $192 for your whole family for the whole week. This year, I will be speaking with Nathan Clark George, one of my family's favorite Christian musicians. Nathan is a regular guest on this program and will provide a concert for us as well. Check out our website at renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. And welcome back to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And we speak to tens of thousands of Christian families around the world on this program. I'm sure folks from other countries are listening in and interested in what we're saying about whether or not our sons and daughters should be part of the military. And we addressed a lot of this in a previous program, but I've got some inputs from different folks who listen to the program. Here is a Chaplain James. I'm not going to give his last name, but I'm just going to say he's a chaplain in the armed forces somewhere. He says, I've enjoyed your program over the years. I'm also a homeschool father of five. My wife and I have enjoyed discussing some of the themes for the program. I recently heard the episode responding to the sexual abuse issues coming out of the military. I'm in agreement with your outrage. It's an abomination. However, I wanted to say that after accepting a commission as a chaplain and pledging to serve God and our nation, I feel that I must state, yes, we are in big trouble, but many believers, chaplains, non-chaplains, are laboring in the trenches to advance the gospel. I don't meet many believers in the military, but know that those who are faithful to the word of God are living out their lives in faith in a struggle to represent godliness amongst the troops. I am served 9 years in missionary work before becoming a chaplain. I believe that it is a privilege to serve in my country in these last days, years for the kingdom, Chaplain James. So, Dave, I mean, nicely written.
Yeah.
Nicely written. I mean, here's a man who is in the trenches, and he's doing the work, and we got to commend that. I mean, that I'm sure he's probably, you know, risking his life, or maybe not his life, but his position from time to time, and bringing out some of the things he wants to bring out, but he wants to make a difference, and he's really working at a time when Christianity is really not very common in the military, and that's really what we're going to get from the other note as well. It's rare to find Christians apparently, but these guys are making a difference, and they are preaching the gospel, and they get an opportunity to share with others, and my understanding is people do get saved from the military, from their years in the military. I think I know one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Who were witnessed to by somebody, by some chaplain or by some other compatriot, and they became a Christian while
right.
they were in the military.
Absolutely. So there's people who get saved in prison too. We don't recommend that you know have a life aiming for prison, because you might be able to get saved if you go there. But there are those who also do prison ministries, and we would object to an institution of prison mint like we have in this country. It's not a biblical system. And yet those who go to the prisons and visit the people there and preach the gospel to them, we're behind them 100%. So I want to say to the chaplains out there, you know, go get them for the glory of God.
And I wouldn't say that this the armed forces is exactly the prison. You know, you don't have convicts going to the armed forces. But what you do see, Dave, is a higher level of restriction to those who are trying to share their faith. And that may be somewhat of a consideration. Somewhat of a consider. If you find out that it's against the law to share your faith in sphere A, but it's not against the law to share your faith in sphere B, sphere C, and sphere D, it might be wiser to choose fear B, C, or D. Does that make sense?
It might be. It might be.
Again, we say might be because, again, you know, God takes different people into different directions.
It depends on calling. A lot of people were criticizing John G. Payton as he went to the New Hebrides Islands.
Yeah. And he received a little resistance there.
Because, you know, it was a very dangerous place. Yeah. The missionary who went there before died walking off the boat up the shore. So, you know, he's going into a very dangerous situation. It's a place where he's not going to be well received. But he felt led and called to go to those islands and preach the word of God. And anybody who feels led and called to find themselves court-martialed in the military for standing up for the name of Jesus, I say, go get him, brother.
Okay, I got another input. Dear Generations, I'm a 26-year-old husband, father of four, redeemed believer in and on Christ. My worldview is filtered through the lens of the Bible from cover to cover. My children range from 9 months to five. We start to homeschool this year. I'm currently an active duty Marine with almost 9 years of service. That is my small background story that I hope will lend credibility to the rest of this short narrative. I joined the Marine Corps right out of high school in 2004. I was somewhat following the footsteps of my father. In the short time since 2004, things in the military have changed drastically. What civilians hear about the current state of affairs in the military is microscopic to the actual happenings. You recently had a show where a friend of yours said not to join the military. I would second that motion. Christian mentors, leaders, pastors, parents should warn and instruct their children not to join. I will briefly try to explain some of the problems. Before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, the culture was very homoerotic amongst the younger troops, 18 to 29. The jokes on a daily basis are homoerotic, sometimes escalating to homosexual behavior. These are always considered jokes, but a straight man would not do these things. God's name is continually blasphemed. If these blasphemies were counted on a daily basis amongst a platoon, shop, or office, it would easily total between 100 and 200. Man. Religion itself is frowned upon amongst peers. We just talked about that. However, true Christianity is absolutely loathed. Wow. Females, at least in the Marine Corps, are looked at, well, words just can't describe. Imagine the worst possible place to send your daughter, just short of an extreme Muslim country, and that's what you got. They are always looked at as sexual objects, on and on. The younger generation of military offers no hope for the future of the military. While crude humor has been a trademark of the military for a long time, this military is a complete 180 from the military of George Washington. Currently, I'm an instructor for my job field. I teach all the new coming Marines who are in my job field, also known as MAOS. I hear the conversations, observe their worldviews and outlooks. I've spent weeks and months engaging these young Marines in conversation. The outlook is bleak, but a small island of hope is that very same position. I am able to show them another way, a biblical way. When I joined, it was not because I heard a calling from God. I joined selfishly to pursue my own will. However, God has used me over these 9 years and has blessed me, but it's impossible to be in my current environment and not be bothered by it. Every day is a struggle. Conversations are saturated with cursing, sex, and blasphemy. My coworkers, computers are half-naked women as their background images, screensavers. My family is continually growing, and I know it's my job to take care of them. Military has changed to the point where I cannot do it and serve God. 3 years to plan for my exit, but I'm totally lost. I am at a complete loss. I have no skills that can be used in the civilian world to make a living. I know faith is the key, but faith without works is dead. Just sitting will not feed my family. So he goes on and on. So, Dave, I mean, here's a guy I get the feeling that he doesn't feel like he can make much of an impact. You know, he's in the midst of this toxic waste dump, and he doesn't really feel like, you know, spraying perfume on the toxic waste dump is doing a whole lot of good. He's hoping that he can reach maybe one or two who will listen to him in the process, but apparently the whole environment's very defiling. Now, one of the things that comes out of this, you know, this whole discussion is, if you're going to go into an environment like that, man, you got to be mature as a Christian. I mean, you've got to be, you know, is more of them going to rub off on you than you is going to rub off on them? That's what my mother used to say about interaction with the world. And Mom's wisdom was always good, you know, so I'm getting back to what Mom told me. So, Kev, you know, how much of them is rubbing off on you? How much of you is rubbing off on them? And Dave, if you got a young kid, 17, 18 years of age, and he doesn't have much of a faith, and you chuck him into that kind of environment, not sure that's really the best idea.
It's not the best idea, and here's some reasons why. Faith comes by hearing the word. And if you're not hearing the word, if you're not part of a congregation, if you're not part of a church, you're not going to hear the word preached very well, very often. In the military, because there are very few Christians, you're not going to have a brother there to exhort you daily, as long as it's called a day, unto good works and righteousness. The temptation to give up, to feel the pressure, and the burden, I mean, is going to be intense. It's going to be super intense. You're going to have to be like an island in the midst of that. Now, if you're already there, to those who are already a member of the military, I say, okay, you're in a dark place, but light looks brighter in the darkness. So be a light. Make sure they all know that you're that weird fundamentalist Christian that believes in Jesus as reigning king. Make sure nobody is unaware of that. Make sure that they know that you believe it because you live it, and let God do the rest.
And Dave, as I think about this, I wonder sometimes if the college is much different. I wonder if some corporate environments are much different. You follow me here?
Right.
You know, when it comes down to it, I mean, there are some situations that are better than others. And God calls some people into intense ministries and some into less intense ministries. The principle of individuality, Christian freedom, Christian calling, I mean, that all plays into this.
Right. Right. If you're talking about an 18 and 19 year old man enlisting, that's a different situation. I mean, it depends on the man. If you're talking about somebody who's going to a military academy, that's yet another different situation.
Right, right, right.
To everybody, I don't care if you're going into the corporate world, if you're going to be a missionary in the public schools, if you're pursuing an entrepreneurial business, you ought to love Jesus more than you love the stuff of this world. You ought to love him enough to get fired, to lose your farm. Whatever persecution comes, you don't go seeking it, but love Jesus enough to get booted out of the military, to get fired from the school, to lose your cushy corporate job. Just let the world know what you believe and let them see that you mean it.
And it's possible that some situations could be far more riskier than others. But as Dave said, I think the principle is exactly right. We all need to be willing to risk everything for Jesus. And there are some situations in which God calls some people sooner than we'd call others. And some walk into these environments and say, I'm in a very, very bad situation, but I'm not going to risk anything for Jesus. And they're going to get sucked up and chewed up and spit out by the system. And others are going to walk into it and say, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if it's the fiery furnace and lion's den for me, so be it. Let it be so. And that's pretty encouraging. You know, Dave, when people do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, I mean, these were men of faith, and they engaged properly in faith. Now, they evidently were called to this position, and sometimes it probably would not be appropriate for somebody just to walk into a situation they're not prepared for, they're not called to be there.
Yeah, if you're not prepared to do battle, you don't belong in the battle. You got to pick your battles, in other words, and prepare for them. You know, let's take a young man, and he's struggling with sexuality. The military's the wrong place for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Yeah. It's just the wrong place. By the way, so is a dorm.
Right.
Or a fraternity.
Right.
He really needs to be discipled. He needs to mature a little bit in his sexuality and maybe get himself a wife before much else happens. The same thing in the corporate environment. You know, there are some corporate jobs that are going to be far more tempting than other corporate jobs. There's going to be some corporations where the sexuality is how women advance and alcohol is flowing and there's screensavers. And there's going to be other kinds of corporations that are more like the Boy Scouts used to be. Mm-hmm. And just it's going to depend. But God can preserve you where you are, but you do have to be wise about what you're going to commit to. One of the downfalls of military service is they own you for a period of time. Yeah. You can quit your corporate job Monday. You can't quit the military Monday.
Yeah.
It's called desertion.
Yeah.
You can, but you come wholly in a different way because they line you up in front of a firing squad. And
not every
holes
time,
in you.
But occasionally.
Yeah. Occasionally, yeah.
You're right. It's a big commitment. I think it needs a huge amount of consideration before young men especially choose to take this on. And I would encourage that you get a lot of good counsel and pray about it before you jump into that particular cesspool. Okay, my friends. Well, here we are in the post-Christian age of the 21st century, and we're trying to make some good judgment calls. And what we're talking about is a tension between the Puritan aspect and the separatistic aspect of it. You know, here you have homeschooling dads, both homeschooling dads, Dave. They've got a little island of protection and separation here for their kids. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm sure they're trying to train their kids apart from the society that is out there ready and willing to corrupt their kids as it does to 96-97% of those who are sucked into the public school vortex. But, you know, you have some separatism, but you also have a man who's willing to jump into the middle of it and try to be a light in the midst of darkness. And you got to appreciate that. I mean, the Bible calls us to separate, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. But at the same time, we're to be salt, yeast, and light, a light on the hill and an impact upon those around us. Now, of course, if you're being squelched, I think there's a point, Dave, at which, you know, if you're called to be a graphic artist and you show up in Hollywood and you get your first job doing graphic arts for the worst slasher films, horror film, breaking everyone's of God's commandments with impunity, sort of just a gross, you know, rated X, rated R film, and you're supposed to be the graphic arts guy on that project, there's a point at which you pretty much aren't making an impact. You know, you might be adding the AD on the copyright screen at the very, very end, you know, the very, very end of the credits, you know. There, you know, you got 2013, AD, you know, and so you make an impact there. You know,
a real
impact.
Pagan would have put CE.
Yeah, that's right. A real pagan would have put CE, but you want to make an impact, so you put AD at the end of the film. You didn't really make much of an impact. It just contributed to producing a film that really did nothing but damage to society and a lot of people's lives, and you probably shouldn't have been on that project. Maybe it would have been better if you just went down to San Antonio and produced a film down there for the Christian Film Festival.
And that begs the question, in today's military, when you're serving, you're protecting what? Now, you'd like to believe you're protecting the borders of this land from foreign invasion, but that's not where you're protecting. Right now, you're protecting NSA surveillance. You're protecting IRS targeting, actual profiling of conservatives. You're protecting pornography. You're protecting abortion. You're protecting homosexuality. What you're protecting, what they're asking you to do, is stand between judgment and the sin. And that's not a good place for a Christian to be.
Yeah, makes it tough. Okay, so these are the issues that have to be considered, friends, as we set out to make an impact on the world around us.
And Kevin, there's one more issue. Both of these men, when they're serving, they're usually deployed away from their children. Yeah. They're homeschooling dads, but they're not dads engaged in homeschooling.
Yeah.
By and large. And that's a difficult thing. I much prefer the idea of our framers that we didn't have a standing army. We may have had men who were trained, did some National Guard stuff on the weekend, but they were home protecting their families, doing job one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So lots of issues to consider, friends, before we get into the military. And we need to say this, Dave, that as children get older, those sons need dads. And I find many, many instances where guys have served some of their earlier years in the military. And then as their kids get older, you know, they get to be 8, 10, 12, 14 years of age, they realize, boy, those sons need dads. And they move more towards the family-based economy. And that's why our family economics conference is, too, because a lot of people are doing this transitions. We call it transitions. And I did the same thing. You know, I was in the corporate world and I was in corporate management for a number of years until I transitioned in 1999, I believe it was, and have been able to work the family economy ever since. I was able to work side by side with my son for about, well, the last 11 or 12 years. And it's been great. So, you know, there's a lot of issues that tie in to what a man does in his life and whether he ought to join the military at some point in his life or maybe he should move on to a family economy. Anyway, these are the things that we talk about on the program, and I hope that this is beneficial. Again, we're not trying to make the decision for every single person out there. We're just trying to lay out some of the playing field here, some of the factors that play in to the decisions that we make, and hopefully we'll make the best possible decisions for our families and for our children and, of course, for the kingdom of God.
And this is a matter of wisdom, not a matter of sin or not sin at this point. And wisdom always begins with the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. If you'd like to get a little bit more on our family economic vision, which is, I think, very important for fathers and mothers and families out there, we have our brand new MP3 out on the 2013 conference. It just came in yesterday. So if you're interested in any of that, if you want to see what we're doing with, I think it was something like 50 presentations, this is by far our most complete vision and our most complete equipping for the family economy that we've ever, ever done. We did it at a conference in St. Louis with 2,100 people attending. If you're interested in some of these things and you would like to see the compendium of talks on the family economic vision, it is now out on an MP3, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, that is kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.